Today we're talking to Mary Devereux, who now lives in Sowerby Bridge and is a member of Tomenden Youth Rae. But before settling in Sowerby Bridge with husband Malcolm, Mary had had a very interesting and varied life. Just briefly to start at the beginning, where were you born and brought up?
Well, I was born in London. My mother was passing through briefly. I was born in London and my mother came from Plymouth in Devon. So we lived in Plymouth initially. My father was in the Navy, so that's really why we were in Plymouth, because my mother's home was there.
Malcolm actually told us something about you living in a gin factory.
Oh, that was a lot later. That's when I was about 11, just as I passed the scholarship. My father had left the Navy by then, and he got a job as a caretaker in a block of flats, which was attached to the Coates Plymouth Gin Distillery. And it was the 1950s, and it was really modern. It had central heating to this place. It was absolutely wonderful. And we lived on a flat on the very top floor, and it's down on the Barbican in Plymouth, which is a really nice old yes. part of Plymouth. It was great. And I think he got the job because the guys who were the directors of the company were all naval senior officers. I think that's probably why he got it. But we were there for a couple of years, and I went to school, to the grammar school from there.
After grammar school, you went on to university but stayed in the West Country.
I did. I went to Exeter. I actually got a scholarship to the Courthold in London, but neither the nuns or my mother would let me go there because it was London. City of vice, you know. Yeah. So what did I do? As soon as I left university, went to London.
Well, after university, had you got a clear idea of what your career was going to be?
Or? Oh, not at all. No way. No.
So what did you finish up doing after university?
Well, as I say, I abandoned Devon and went to London and did small jobs, you know, part-time jobs in waiting at tables in restaurants and like that, which I had done in the holidays when I was a student and a schoolgirl. I worked in hotels and learnt, you know, silver service and that sort of thing. Graduated from a chambermaid. You know.
So what yes. was your first proper job?
My first proper job was in London with the Crown Agents for Overseas Governments and Administrations, which was an executive clerical officer, which was a proper job, as you say. And that actually was working with the engineers that got posted abroad. It was sorting the family, the schools for the children and the houses for the wives and children and things like that, if they were going to accompany them.
But was it about 60, 61 when you got married?
I did, yes. Yeah. I met my husband in London in a restaurant that he worked in and I went to work in. And yes, we got married in March 1961 and Anna was born in October 1961.
Shortly after that, you moved to Bradford. Why on yes. earth Bradford?
Well, it was very difficult once I was working in the civil service. John was working, doing things, all sorts of different things. He worked in a furniture shop at one stage for a friend, and he did sort of painting and decorating and stuff like that. He left school with very few, hardly anything in the way of qualifications. So with his money that he had and mine, which was, you know, not a lot, by the time we had the baby and she went into the nursery at a day nursery at 6 weeks, which was what maternity leave was in those times, we couldn't really afford. We were living in a flat with three other guys and we just couldn't afford to stay there, really, basically. We had to move out because you weren't allowed to have babies in that flat anyway. So we went to a place where there was a nice pair of old teachers in Tufnell Park, and we had a flat in their house for a year or so. And then we came up to Yorkshire because John's mother was the first psychologist in Bradford. And it was, I don't know if it was a question of, it wasn't my decision, but I don't know if it was a question of his mother or my mother, you know, but she got the joy. So she was living in a flat in Manningham, And so in the first year that we were there, John and Kathleen bought a house with money that her father had left her, but had left in trust for John. So we bought the house at Thackley, where we were all the time we were married.
And you began teaching in Bradford?
I did. I went to Margaret Macmillan and did a conversion course for a year, certificate of education, to qualify. And then I started teaching. I actually started teaching as a pre-TC before training college. I started in a nursery in Greengates in one of those estates in Bradford. And then after I qualified in June for teaching. I went into the infants a little bit before I qualified, and then I went to the juniors, and I was in the bottom class, you know, the less able children, and the youngest were first year juniors, which were seven.
Now, it was during this time that you had the opportunity to go to Geneva?
That's right, yes. Yeah. Yes, you remembered.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And what? Any special memories of Geneva?
Oh, yes, it was wonderful. It was a week's trip. Again, it was through my mother-in-law. She was teaching at Cambridge. She was lecturing in Cambridge by that time. And because when Anna was seven, she went to Cambridge to work. So we went with a group of her students to Geneva to look at education in Geneva, basically, in the French part of Switzerland, obviously. Yeah, it was a great experience for me. It was only a week in the sort of Easter holidays, but it was tremendous.
But you met somebody quite well known in the
world of
education.
Yes, I did indeed, yes. Yes, we looked at schools and we looked at youth centres, but we also looked at, we also met Jean Piaget, who, when I was later on doing a master's degree, somebody in the seminar group who was introduced to me said, "This is Mrs. Devereux, whose hand has been kissed by the great Jean Piaget." So that was it. It stood me in good stead. Yes, no, I mean, he was like a big teddy bear. He was a lovely man.
Who was Piaget?
Piaget was a developmental psychologist, and all his research was based upon his three children. And people used to say later on, you know, research is good, there's only three children. And he was looking at the developmental stages, the intellectual developmental stages of children, from abstract thinking, from concrete operations through to abstract thinking, when children were in their teens, basically. But it was very interesting work, and it was an absolute honour to meet him, you know.
Back to Bradford, continued in special needs teaching.
No, I didn't actually go into special needs until I was in ordinary schools, and then I went into assessment centres, and then later I went into special needs.
But in 1978, you had another period abroad, this time in
Kenya. Oh, yes, in Kenya. Yes. Again, it was a bit of a fluke. My mother-in-law had a friend who was a psychologist as well, and she was ill and dropped out of a group of three people who were going to Kenya to develop a curriculum for special needs children, and I was able to go in her place. And there was a physio and two educational people, and it was incredible because we went, and it was just before Kenyatta died, and my mother-in-law had actually met Kenyatta during the war when he was in England. And she, you know, said how tall he was and how handsome he was and so on. And I saw him laid out on a mahogany table in the state house when he died, you know, and he wasn't all that tall. I think she was rather keen. No, it was an amazing time because we had students from all over the country who worked in all sorts of situations. I mean, one guy worked in a sort of a wooden cabin in a middle area of a modern Swedish designed hospital for the criminally insane. I mean, then there were these little children there, and they had no books, they had absolutely nothing. They went from that to people who did have classrooms, you know, but there was only one school for handicapped children, which was run by the Americans in Mombasa.
back in Bradford, 1979, you're back into education, but and you can climb through the ranks, but by the early 1980s, you were on the national stage.
I was. I was a founder member of a group called the National Association for Remedial Education, and then there was another group that I joined very early on called the National Council for Special Education. Subsequently, those two groups joined together, but I used to organise conferences and workshops in Bradford, first of all, and then nationally. And then I organised residential courses. And this is in holidays, in vacations, you know.
You were also involved in that and the National Union of Head Teachers, I think.
I was, yes. When I was a head teacher, I was chair in Bradford of head teachers.
And very briefly, you were an Ofsted inspector.
I was very briefly. This was as I was coming to the end of my teaching career, which I didn't realise was going to be the end of my teaching career. I trained as in the first group of Ofsted inspectors, which I absolutely hated. It was nitpicking, ticking boxes. And I did two inspections, and the staff in the schools used to get in such a tizzy that I'm not, you know, I just didn't want to do it again. It was too much.
By 1992, or in 1992, you retired from education but found a new career, first in France.
What were you doing there? One of my greatest pleasures in life was cooking, and together with travelling, I devoted a great deal of my retirement to it. And my love of cooking, travel, and interest in many languages was fostered by my father-in-law, who obviously I met in London when I married John. He was the pharmacist in Guy's, but he was also a fantastic cook and loved travelling and speaking. He collected languages like people collect stamps, you know. And I learned a great deal from his company. When I first went to London after university, I remember buying a first book of food, which was called Plat du Jour. And it was from then on I immersed myself in Elizabeth David writings, although I lived in a small bed sitting room in Hampstead with a gas ring. But yes, I retired. And then I retired because I had hepatitis A that I caught from the children. So it took a couple of years to recover from that. But I joined with a friend called Lemmy, and we started running cookery courses, first of all in Yorkshire, in Marrick, in 1995, up in the Dales. What we do is we'd hire a house and work. This was a weekend to start off with. Then later on, we were in France in the Périgord. We had a house which was more substantial, and we used to do weeks there. Other courses used to be run there, but we used to do that. And the best of all was in Italy, when we hired a villa called the Villa Cattarello in 1996. And right through, we used to go in the spring, in May and June, and in the autumn, September, October, because the weather was the best really for that. And again, we had cooking courses and painting courses there. We were focusing on Tuscan cookery, bread making, and pastas, fresh pastas, and the local meats and cheeses. It was really interesting because it was a beautiful place to be. But Lemmy always chose a house that was miles off the road. The Range Rover could just about get to it, you know. So once we were up there, that was it. You couldn't go back for a few eggs, you know, or something that you'd missed out on.
This was in Borgo Mazzano.
Yes. Yes.
You and I are probably one of the few people in this country who've been there.
That's right. Yes, yes. Now,
also, the villa had quite a distinguished architect.
Yes, it did. It was derelict when Rogers, the architect, found it in his walking and travels. He found it was completely derelict, and he'd spent the night, camping in it, and it was full of animals and all sorts. It was in chestnut woods, absolutely beautiful chestnut woods. Anyway, he decided he was going to do it up, and he had it done up, and it was filled with antique furniture, but also Swedish modern furniture, which actually sounds a bit strange, but it worked really well together. The kitchen actually was it was obviously it wasn't designed by a cook, because it was really not very helpful, not very workable, I should say. No, it was just a fabulous place to be. I used to go there every autumn and spring for about 5 years. But of course, we ran it as sort of, you know, as it wasn't bed and breakfast, but it was accommodation for the people who were staying, and of course all the domestic stuff involved with that.
When you returned from it, did you come direct to Sowerby Bridge or?
No, I mean, what we haven't talked about is a place in France, which I absolutely adore.
This was near Capital.
My cousin Yannick bought, it was 3 Vendange cottages, which he bought in 2001. He bought it for a place for himself and his partner to live in, but that relationship broke up pretty quickly. And then I came there, but it was an absolute wreck. It was 3 Vendange cottages with separate electricity bills and, you know, this sort of thing. So, and, you know, no inside toilet. There was an outside toilet and the garden was feet high in weeds. But it had been occupied during the war, as we found out later, and a gentleman came up the drive and told us all about when he lived there during the war with his family. It was, as I say, 3 Vendange cottages, which we knocked into one. And we still kept the separate bits for certain purposes, but, you know, to make it more economic, really, to have all the bills coming for one house. And the garden was, you know, so we made a beautiful garden and a swimming pool. And I just adored being there. It was just part of my... I was just reading something the other day that I'd written, and although I was... looking back on it, it remains so clear that the practical tasks were always pleasurable. It was like home to me. It was like almost like my first home. I took delight in cooking and shopping and making meals for ever-expanding numbers. My cousin had masses of friends, very sociable guy, and, you know, many friends used to come during the summer, of course, to stay. And we were not just those friends, but local friends would come. I mean, I never had less than about 10 people for dinner every night, which is, I love it. I just love it. No, it was fabulous. And the times I was alone there, I really enjoyed that too, because you sit outside in the evening, you know, with just your table and just watch the sun go down over the mountains. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. No, he only sold that relatively recently.
When did you come back to England?
Oh, well, I was only going out. I was only going and coming and going and coming, yes. Right. I came back to England after, well, even after I met Malcolm and we were married, we went there to stay.
Ah,
so right. it was still belonging to us.
About
there.
11 years ago you met Malcolm.
I did, yeah. Indeed, yes, and I met him through a group for bereaved, separated and divorced people, which I'd joined a couple of years previously. And it was mainly because of my divorce. I wanted to work through the outcome of that. And Malcolm had been bereaved. His wife had died, I think about a year, yes, before that.
And then Sowerby Bridge?
And then Sowerby Bridge, yes.
The peak.
Well, I lived in Bailden in a cottage when I left my husband, first of all. And then I moved to... After a long time, after nearly 15 years, I moved to a semi. And I thought, you know, semi-detached. Never thought I'd live in a semi-detached. And it was lovely. It was light and very nice. And it had a big garden, which I like.
Having settled in Sowerby Bridge, what's the connection with Todmorden?
Well, when I was living in Bailden, I had a good friend who belonged to the U3A in Ilkley. And they had a summer... a week in the summer when they did trials of every kind of course. And I went to one of them and I decided to join the drawing course. And I went to that for a short time. And then when I came over to Sowerby Bridge, I thought, I wonder where the U3A is. And it was in Todmorden. And I thought, Todmorden, oh, that's a long way away from Sowerby Bridge. And actually, it was very near. Also, I had this idea of Todmorden as being this little mill town, you know, that weren't going to be very interesting. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's a great community. I think it's an even better community than Hebden Bridge, actually. I think it's, you know, it's much more authentic in a way.
Right, I think we should say thank you to Mary now. That's been fascinating.
Well, thank you very much.